mission today is to kind of bring this into, kind of bring all the pieces together that you've heard thus far. And because of time, I'm going to use my notes because I had a three-hour message for you. But I'll keep it really short and sweet. My role, well, first of all, let me thank everyone for, again, like Renee and all the other members mentioned, there was a lot of support that came from you to make this happen, financial support and your prayers and time that you spent getting us ready for the trip. We had to go get, some of us had to get vaccinate, shots and all of that to get ready. And there were some anonymous blessings that made this even possible for me because I had to go through all the shots and all of that and just get ready and take a vacation and what have you. But it all worked out, and I am eternally grateful to you, Lakeview, for making this happen. And out of the fear of missing someone, I won't get into the names or anything, but my mission here in a real short period, I need to ask you to stand up, first of all. And we're going to look at one scripture. Mike, I'm pulling on you here real quick. Let's do Hebrews 11 and 1, I think. And we will get to the main root of this is about, well, let me get this cordless going here so I can. Okay. Testing 1, 2. Now I can move around. Pierre said, keep him in the box and he'll get out of here quick. But anyway, this is something I want you to read together. If we get nothing else done today, if we walk out and we all kind of, I know a lot of you probably already know this scripture, but this is about faith. The mission, the Freedom Mission people have built, or the team over there in Jason's leadership, they built this school. The school is expanding. You know, we mentioned 300 kids, and it's going to go up to 1,800 kids. And he talked about how they didn't have any land, and then suddenly they had thousands of acres. They needed a tractor, and they needed metal, something to use to put the concrete ceilings up. I forget what you call them, but someone showed up at one of the mission trips with, he owned the company or had connections to a company, and they shipped these big metal trays over to put the concrete in to make the ceilings for the school. That was happening all the time throughout the, since 2010 when this started. God was providing things for that school, that mission, that ministry all the time, including us coming over with your help and the generous donations of time and money. So let's read this one together if we get nothing else done. And this is the definition of faith. And I'll talk about that a little minute for a few moments and turn it around and get you out of here. Let's go. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11 and 1. So keep that one in mind and memorize that one when you're having struggles or trying to figure out what are they talking about faith, fighting the faith. You can be seated. Thank you so much. I gave you the seventh inning stretch there real quick. My mission, get a better understanding of what it means to fight the fight of faith, because that's what this was all about. That was the theme of the week. A few moments to examine the word faith. And Mike, if you leave that up there for a moment, examine the command. I think Renee mentioned the scripture as Matthew's, I think it's Matthew 24 or so, that talks about as Jesus was about to go on the cross, he said, I want you to go out and teach all nations. The key word, A-L-L, all nations. There has been a conversation in many communities when there's a mission trip to say, well, why don't we just spend our time and money in Alamance County or Guilford County? And that is true to some extent, but we're thinking about a command that Jesus gave us. He gave the disciples, which kind of comes down to us too. He said, go into the world and teach all nations. And I think about God looking down on the earth and all of the universe from a view like, who's been on a hot air balloon? You ever been on a hot air balloon, anyone? Got one, hot air balloon, two, and how about a helicopter? Helicopter, same people, been on the helicopter and the hot air balloon. Or something. But anyway, when you're looking down on the land from one of those devices, those aircraft or whatever, you see all of the land. You see, if you were looking at a parade, you would see the beginning of the parade, and then you would see the end of the parade all at the same time. And our God looks down on us from a, I say, aerial view. He can see everything all the time. He sees the beginning and the end. You know, we hear the Alpha and Omega. He already knows what the parade is going to look like at the end. He sees the people staging, getting ready with the floats, and then he can see at the same time the people who have ended the parade, and they're taking off their hot uniforms, and the band members are putting the horns in the cases. That's the way God looks at us. So he looks at us much larger than Alamance County and Guilford and West Burlington. He looks at the whole planet, all of the galaxies. They say there are, I forgot how many planets. I've been out of school for a long time. But anyway, in this galaxy, and the billions of people, billions of everything. But the science tells us that there are billions of galaxies. So I believe that God is over all of that. So he's looking down at us from an aerial view and saying, go into all nations. He did not just create Monte Blaney in Gibsonville. So you see people from all over the planet being discipled, being witnessed to, and evangelism is going on around the planet. So that's how I look at the mission trip. And, when you bump that against, let's just do local ministry. Our pastor has been wonderful. I just love him to death because he uses the Bible for everything. He teaches straight out of the Bible, and it tells us to go into all nations. And we can walk and chew gum at the same time. We can witness locally. We can teach locally. We can support our local church and at the same time support an international ministry and work for the entire planet, the entire planet. That's what I think God wants us to do. So I want you to think about that. The other piece is, what do we do? I'm trying to skip around here so I can get to the bottom and get you home before the Kentucky Fried Chicken closes here today and get you some dinner. But the other thing I want to do is just talk about how do we go from here? That was my real mission today. What do we do now? We've gone on the trip, and we've seen some wonderful things, and we've cried, and we've worked. So where do we go from here? I want you to think about next year, maybe, how about we go, we had 6 this year. How about we get set a goal for 12? What do you think? 12 people go? 18? And we've made the plea many times here already to think about, could you really pull that off? Could you go with us to the Dominican or wherever we end up and help witness and evangelize in another country? At the same time, put our energies in our local community. How do you do that? We're called to be disciples as well. We have to get comfortable with talking about our Savior to people. And the pastor does this here lately. We hear a lot about that here in our sermons here. How do you do that? How do you witness when you're out there? People ask that all the time when I'm talking around on my job. They say, well, how do you go up to someone and start talking about Jesus Christ and the Bible and all? One of the things you can do is get familiar with the Bible. And whether you like to read it or have it in audio, get familiar with the Bible. It is one of the oldest books in the world. It was written 2,700 years ago or something, the first 5 books in 1300, before Christ was born. And it has been published more than any other book. Now, some would argue that. You can go on Twitter or Google, wherever you MySpace, and find out what it says. But it's been published. It's been translated 670 times in different languages, and 3,200 or so different languages use part of the scriptures. There are 6,500 languages in the world. There's 8 billion people on the planet. 83% of the people on the planet have no knowledge of Jesus Christ. So there's a lot of work to do and a lot of, few workers. You know how the scriptures read. I have all of that here. I was going to throw it up on the screen, but we can't do that today. That's a lot of work to do with a small group of people. So that's one of the reasons for missions and why we want to be involved in that. If you want, here's a quick tool you can use too. Get familiar with the Bible so that you can use the teachings in the Bible for your own good as well as share it with others. Take the word bless. You're interfacing with someone. You're the initiator of the conversation about Jesus. then be prepared to pray for them. If you meet someone and you can say, how can I pray for you? This is just one way to engage someone when you're discipling or witnessing or evangelizing. Listen, L, B for be prepared to pray, L for listening. Listen to someone. God gave us two ears, one mouth. So we want to listen to what they might need or what they have to say. And then here's a funny one, the E in bless, for eat, food. You ever notice when you go out to eat with someone, they just talk until they get full and they get sleepy and they stop talking. But most people like to talk when you're having a meal. Most events that we go to, there's a meal involved. That's by design, I think. I really do think it's by design. There's music and there's food. That's a way that you can witness when you're, you know, take someone to lunch, take someone to dinner, and they will talk. Feed them and they will talk. S, the first S in bless, we can call that serving them. Once they talk about what they need, you may be able to provide that, whatever it is. And that could be a dollar bill or it could be a bologna sandwich. But think about that. And then the last S for serve or share. I'm sorry, you want to share a testimony. So B for be prepared to pray. Listen, eat so you can socialize and relax someone. And then you can serve them. And lastly, you can share your own testimony. And that will get you in the front door sometime to be an evangelist or disciple. We're all disciples. We're all ministers. We're all called to do that. He told us to go into all the nations. So that may mean starting at your job or at your kitchen table at home. So I wanted to make sure that you have that as a walk away. The Bible, again, such a powerful tool. It's been under attack for many, many years, and it cannot be destroyed. It cannot be destroyed. In the Bible, there are several instances where faith was exercised by men and women who did not even have a Bible because they were in the process of writing the Bible at that time. So Moses didn't have a Bible. He was writing the first five books, the Pentateuch, they call it in the first five books of the Bible. So he had to rely on what God showed him. And some of us have seen miracles from our Lord. Steve walking in without the wheelchair today is a miracle that we see. Are there any of the church fans out there right now behind the seats? Anyone? Can you find one of the church fans? Yeah, look at I think on the back or the front, there's a picture of the old Lakeview. So let me see the hands of those who were here when the building was not this building. Remember that? And you probably were thinking it was okay for a moment, and then the church started growing and you needed more space. That was an example of faith. That picture that you see on that fan says, we had this building, it was fine until the seats filled, and now you need another building. And now look at Lakeview. Not just one building, but we have a Christian worship center across, and the youth are coming in. There's a band. Whoever dreamed there would be a band playing on the stage here at Lakeview? And whoever dreamed that the pastor would circle back around after going all around the world to come back and minister to us? So those are examples of faith. Noah building the big boat in the backyard, and I could talk about this again. This would have been a three-hour message, but I got to cut to the chase here. Daniel in the lion's den, Paul and Silas in the jail, and they're praying and they believe in God. No Bible, just believe in God for things they'd seen and heard, and then the chains broke. Another miracle. Peter walking on the water. Some directions you can leave with today, too, and I'm going to cut it off with this. That story. Mike, can you do 14 and Matthew 14, 22, so something? Okay, Jesus has just, this is the one right here. Jesus has just fed thousands with two fish? Anyone know that story, the two fish and the five loaves of bread? Impossible task. Impossible task to build the big church from Lakeview, you know, the little church and now the big church. He had just done that and then told the disciples, get in the boat and I'll catch up with you later. And then the story goes where the water becomes rough and they became afraid and Jesus walks out on the water. They thought it was a ghost. And then Peter said, if that's really you, then bid me to come. He said, I want to make sure that you're not a ghost. So step number one, you ask God for directions. This is what Peter did. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And verse 23, Mike, and when he had sent them away, he went on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, and 24, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, and the wind was contrary. 25, and now on the fourth night of the watch, he went to them walking on the sea. 26, and when the disciples saw him walking and they became terrified, they said, "It's a ghost." And 27, but immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it's just me." 28, I'm paraphrasing, with respect to God and time. Peter answered himself, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come out here and walk on the water." This is, we will pause right there for a second. This is what we do, ask him for direction. When you have something going on in your life, should I marry this person? Should I buy this car? Should I take this new job? Ask God for directions. Go to the Word and stand on the Word. Janice, I'm going to use your little thing here, but I didn't get to do this on the stage. But I stand on the Word. You all can't see this. This is her little stool, and she laughed at me when I spoke one time. She said, "You can use my little stool, you little man." So I stood on it. I'm going to stand on the Word. He said to come. Peter said, "Tell me to come." And he came. He walked on the water, and then he became afraid. And you know the story. He went down in the water, and then he shouted out, "Lord, save me." So we ask for direction. We listen. And then when we hear God speak, then we act on it. Those three steps. That's what was happening in the Dominican Republic. Jason said, "How do I do this?" And then God spoke and gave him, and he told stories on the bus ride and all. I don't have time to do that, but that's what really happened. He asked, and then God spoke, and then he acted on it. He started the building, and then we ended up in the Dominican Republic, and we will go back again. So you can do that same thing. When something's going on in your life, ask God, "What should I do?" Find a scripture, stand on it, and then listen for him to speak, and then act on it. Nike, just do it. When God speaks, just do it. And if I had time, I would talk a little bit about how do you hear God? My wife and I were talking about it last night, when you sometimes it's a subtle message that comes to you. An example was, we were laughing about this last evening. You're in the grocery store and you see something laying on the floor. Well, you knock something off of a rack and it hits the floor. And then you say, "Well, the workers will get that up." In reality, God might be kind of in your head saying, "Go ahead and pick that up. You know you knocked it down. Pick it up." Sometimes he speaks as subtle as that. Sometimes people have witnessed that they heard a voice, an inner voice in their spirit that said, "Do the right thing." So think about that. And some miracles in the Bible, miracles at Lakeview. There are miracles in your life. We want to learn to look at the world in God's eyes. Oh, you all better be glad we're late, because I would knock you out with this. I got a lot of stuff. But we're going to shut it down right here. Maybe another time we can revisit this. Look at the world from God's eyes and you will understand missionary work better. God is bigger than our house. It's bigger than our church. He's bigger than, you've heard the songs. It's so wide you can't get around him. So deep you can't get under him. And young folks, you can use these same scriptures. I just love you all for coming to church, because we're living in the front of a godless nation where people don't go to church anymore. And parents need to tell the kids, if you want to stay here, eat, you have to go. That's what my mom said. I said, "I don't want to go to Sunday school." She said, "Well, do you want to eat? Do you want to play ball this afternoon?" Okay, Sunday school. It does come back around, and it means a lot, Ellie, with your dancing skills and all. Tie that together. It's awesome. Awesome future ahead for you all. So I'm going to end with that. Look at, from God's eyes, look at the world from... We need to learn that we can't do that, but let's learn to look at the world from God's eye view, and it will make sense why we went to the Dominican Republic, why we're going again. Think about going. Think about some of those tools I just gave you to evangelize and disciple. We're all called to be disciples. Pastor, can you come up and close us up? Let's give him a hand for pushing this whole idea of missionary work. It is